man, she stayed down at the altar for a long time. And, you know, come to find out, like I said, she was way up in her 70s, I'm pretty sure. And the odds of somebody living their life, going that long and getting saved is like, it is slim and none. One time when I was a young Christian, I just had gotten saved, and my pastor was preaching, and he had the stats all figured out. Now, you know, you can get to find this stuff. I didn't look them up, but he brought some people up to the front of the church on this side of the church. I remember at where we were going, and you know, he brought a young child up and had the odds of them getting saved, which is a lot greater, you know, better. And then, you know, he kept going up. By the time, you know, somebody's like 35 and 40, and by the time, you know, you get up to 80, I mean, the odds of somebody that old getting saved is real slim, because it's not that God doesn't have the power. It's just that, you know, we get set in our ways, and we start, you know, we've lived a life so long without God, and we think we can, you know, we don't, you know, we got it all figured out and all the responses, and you know, most people think, the majority of the world just thinks, hey, they'll be good enough to get to heaven, and maybe the good will outweigh the bad. You know, the good will never outweigh the bad. I'm telling you that right now. Just in our thoughts alone would outweigh any good that we would do. So, you know, like works. And so, you know, I don't know what her story was, whether she had thought she was saved, been in church and that. But anyway, boy, it was a blessing to see. It's good to see the young people too, but it's good to see anybody really, you know, come down there and get saved. I got this. I had this thought here in my mind. I shared it with the church Wednesday night. I was listening to preaching. I listened to some. You know, pastors, a lot of times we don't listen to as much preaching as we probably ought to. That we get kind of busy trying to get ready to preach. And when Harold came up with the Christ Life Radio, you can listen to it on your phone. Anytime I'm doing something else that I can multitask, I'll put the preaching on. It's 24/7. Somebody's preaching, you know, and they're all real solid guys. And you know, I was listening and heard some preaching the other day. It's good to go to the meetings. I need to go to more meetings than we do. But I'll share this with you here, and you know, what I shared with our Wednesday night group. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And then look, notice how this says in verse 5. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the meeting today and the meeting we had this weekend. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that You pour Your Spirit out upon us now. Move in this service. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to get our mind and hearts right, Lord. Our thoughts focused on You, Your Word, what You have for us today. You know every heart that's here. You know every need we have. Lord, You know every person that's lost. You know every person that needs to be saved. You know every person that's made a profession, but it wasn't real. Lord, You know the pretenders, Lord. You know the possessors. We just pray, Lord, that You'll convict us of where our need is, Lord, and that we know You're willing that we be saved, that not any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Lord, so speak to hearts today. We're thankful You're still on the throne. We're thankful You're still saving souls today, and we ask for that in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The title of the message is "The Power of Confession," and I heard Brother Benny preaching on Christ Life Radio, and we heard him in person. I've heard him in person before a couple times preach, and I couldn't remember if he preached this message when we were there or not, but I remember. But he said he had a big message, but he got to this one thing, and he asked this question here, and he brought this verse in. It wasn't his main text, But he asked the question, he said, what's easier to do? Is it easier to ask forgiveness or easier to confess? And of course, the answer, and I asked Wednesday night group just to see what they would say. I asked them, and everybody said the same thing. They said, well, it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is to confess. You know, because, see, when we confess, we're admitting, you know what we are, what we've done. I mean, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, you think of somebody, say you offended a human being, say just a person, and not God, not thinking in terms of God here, but just in a human relationship. The hardest thing to do is to go to somebody and say, hey, I was wrong. You know, I've done this or said this and this. That's the hard part. You know, asking them to forgive you after you get the confession over with is the easier part of the two. You know, at the thing. And I started pondering about that. I couldn't get it off my mind. I shared it with them Wednesday night, and I said, man, I'm going to get a message together about this because I believe that as well. I think that you know, the Bible, you know, talking about confessing, it says, you know, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I think one of the problems is a lot of times, see, you can just blanket statement a lot of stuff. Lord, just forgive me of my shortcomings. We don't even call them sins. We just say, Lord, forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of my failures. We don't even like to say, forgive me of my sins. And then if we just say, Lord, forgive me, it's kind of a blanket thing. We don't want to get specific and say, Lord, you know, and say, I've lied. I've stolen. I've had a bad thought, whatever it may be. We don't want to say that. We don't want to admit that about ourselves. And I'll talk to you about that a little bit in one of the points there. But, you know, the Bible, I started thinking about confession in the Bible, and I started looking at some things. And the Bible has a lot to say about confession. Now, this is what confession is, really, and I'll tell you why you have to do it later. But confession is being open and honest about God. Or being open and honest. Well, yeah, being open and honest about God. Being open and honest about ourselves. Being open and honest about ourselves. Just get all the excuses and everything out of the way and just say, look, this, you know, this is what I am. This is what I've done. I mean, God, this is where my problem is. This is what I need. You know, being open and honest with God. And, you know, of course, confession there in verse 9, repentance is implied, and repentance from sin is implied if confession's going to move God. And so I want to talk to you this morning about confessing, some confession, what the Bible says. One of them is confessing Christ, one's confessing sin, and another one is confessing our faults one to another. It was in our text there this morning. Now, I want to talk to you about confessing Christ. This means, you know, that you admit, you know, who Jesus Christ is. And it's more than just a verbal thing. You know, one of the things we see today is like if you go out and around in the community, about everybody's saved. If you ask them, you know, everybody, I've gone to people's houses, oh yeah, I'm saved. And you know, when you start asking them how they know that, they're not giving you the right answer. Well, I was baptized, or I belong to the church, or, you know, I'm a pretty good person, or, and all these other things that go along with it. It's not actually, you know, a correct thing. If you believe in Jesus, I don't really like asking people if they're saved any longer. I don't like asking people if they believe in Jesus because, it, you know, I want to know if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really what I want to get right down to. That's what it boils down to, because a lot of people that say they're saved, they don't have a relationship with Christ. They're not in a church. There isn't a single person in the New Testament that ever was saved that didn't belong to a New Testament Bible-believing preaching church. I mean, everybody was at the church. They joined it. And Jesus said, I'm upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. The Word of God says, upon this rock, upon Jesus Christ, I'm going to build my church. There wasn't anybody that got saved and people, they're claiming that they believe in Jesus or that they got saved. They use that word saved, but they don't have anything to do with God. They don't have anything to do with the Word of God, the house of God, the prayer of God. I mean, nothing is in their life that would indicate that there's a relationship with Jesus Christ, yet they think that they're saved. Notice in verse 9, it says, or in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Listen, we can deceive ourselves in a lot of ways besides just saying that we have no sin. You know, going along in life, life thinking everything's okay. Going along in life thinking, well, I mean, you know, I was in church on Sunday, therefore, you know, I have a relationship. Just listen, being here is not necessarily a relationship with Jesus Christ in the church, and I'll show you that here in just a few minutes. And so, you know what, confessing Christ doesn't mean an admittance that Jesus exists, or even that that he died on the cross, even if you believe that, or even that he rose from the dead, and I'll show you why. You know, there was the Bible says that the devils believe and they tremble. The devils believe and they tremble. Do you remember there was a man, there was actually two men in one, there's two men, one text tells us one, but there was two men that were in Gadara. They were possessed by demons, and the Bible says, when Jesus came, he asked what their name was, and they said, our name is Legion, because we're many. So these men were possessed by many demons. But when Jesus came on the scene, guess what happened? The demons said this. Now listen, the demons, not lost people, but demons said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Man, there's a confession. It was the absolute truth. They knew Jesus' name. They knew more than a lot of people in churches today know. They knew Jesus' name. They knew that he was the Son of God. And they says, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? And then they said this, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Guess what that means? That means that they knew some prophecy of the Bible, that their time on earth was a limited time. They knew that Jesus was going to come and he was going to put an end of all things. He was going to come back. He was going to cast the Satan into be bound for 1,000 years. He'd be bound in hell for 1,000 years. That there would be 1,000-year millennial reign. And at the end of that reign, he was going to be loose for a little season. And then he was going to be cast in the lake of fire. They knew all that. They had all this sorted out. They knew the Bible. They knew the Word of God. They knew that it was Jesus. They knew who he was. See, a lot of people, there's people out there, there's cults out there today that'll name the name of Jesus, but their Jesus and our Jesus isn't the same one. Their Jesus and the Bible Jesus isn't the same one. They just think he was a good man. There's some people, there's cults out there that believe that Jesus and Satan were brothers. For crying out loud, huh? The Mormons, they believe that. They believe that Jesus and Satan were brothers, man. I mean, that they just believe, you know, they don't believe that he is God in the flesh, the deity of Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in that. They don't believe he's God. I know it says the Son of God, but he's also God. Now, how do you explain it? Well, he's God. He can do all things. They confess that there's a man, there's somebody named Jesus, but who he is. These said, man, you the Son of God. That's in capital letters. They knew that he was God in the flesh. They knew all that. But they were demons. They were confessing Christ intellectually. But they didn't have a relationship with him. They said, what do we have to do with thee? They weren't the only ones. There was a man, listen to this. There was a man that was in the synagogue. You know, the synagogue was like church for the Jews. We're in church, right? There was a man that was in a synagogue, and the Bible says that he was possessed with an unclean spirit. And Jesus comes in, and right away, as soon as he comes in, this man must have had more than one spirit too, or else it was him, and he was counting him and the man. He said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Look, this guy, these demons even knew where Jesus was from. Said, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. We know, these demons knew who he was. They confessed who he was. They got more of a knowledge of Jesus, like I said, than a lot of people that are claiming to be Christians today. They could confess this. They knew it. I want you to understand something, too. That man was in the synagogue. You getting this right here? This man was in the synagogue. He was demon-possessed in the synagogue. Have you ever known? Do you think people can be in a church and be demon-possessed? Yes, ma'am, I do. I've talked to some of them. Huh? I've talked to some of them right in the church. You can be in the church, sitting in the church, and be lost. And there's something in you. Listen, if God's not in your heart, it's an open door. It's an open door for the demons to come in. You're controlled by somebody. Somebody's calling the shots in your life. You think you are, but you're either a child of God or a child of the devil, one or the other. Those are the two choices right there. And boy, that old devil, he's always looking for a vacancy sign. He's looking for that. You ever been traveling on? You need a room? And you're driving down, remember the old days, the hotels had the little vacancy sign. on there. Boy, when they see a vacancy sign, you whipped in there if you was looking for one, right? Listen, you don't have Jesus in your heart, let me tell you something. Satan riding down the road looking for that vacancy sign, he's going to pull in. He's going to pull in there, and you're going to end up being controlled by the devil. And so in Mark 3:11 tells us that many unclean spirits fell down before him and cried, "Thou art the Son of God." Many unclean spirits, and said they fell down before him. That was worship, but they weren't saved. They weren't saved. And see, so just our act of being in church doesn't mean that we're saved. Listen, here's the thing. Well, you know, why did they fall down in an act of worship? You know, one of the things is because you cannot fool Jesus. You can't fool him. Huh? It's going to be, man, I got to thinking, man, about this. When we fall down, there's people. I remember one time, and I was trying to share the gospel with somebody, and I want to tell you, man, I was a new Christian, and I was already backslidden. I mean, I was brand new, and I was already backslid. I wasn't controlled by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God and all that, but I just, something about me, I tried to witness to somebody. My testimony probably wasn't worth a plug nickel when you get right down to it, but I was trying to tell somebody about Jesus, and I said, you know, the Bible says, one day every knee shall bow. Hey, every knee's going to bow. I said, well, you're going to find out one day. I started to get hot, you know. I said, you're going to find out one day. The Bible says, you know what? You're going to bow. You're going to bow down in this lifetime, or you're going to bow down in the next lifetime, one or the other. Every knee's going to bow. You're not going to be able to fool Jesus. And them demons just said they fell down before. Why? Because they knew who he was. And they knew, man, listen, they couldn't fool anybody. I bet they fell down before the people in the church fell down. Them demons got down there on the ground. They knew exactly who he was. Every knee's going to bow. Every mouth's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every single mouth, one day or the other. It doesn't make any difference. It'll happen one day. And I hope and pray that the person I was talking to has figured that out and bowed down before that. Every knee, but they couldn't fool him. But they weren't saved. They weren't saved about it. They just knew. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right there, listen. Them demons believed all that. They believed all that. Now you say, well, is the Bible contradicting itself? No, it's not. I'll show you in a minute. They believed. They said, hey, that Jesus Christ, that's him. He's the Son of God. They believed that. They knew. They know today that he died. They know that he resurrected. They know that he's God in the flesh. They know he's sitting on the throne. They know all that. But they're not saved. They're not saved. And so many people, man, I knew people. I used to know a guy. I knew a guy that he could have shared enough gospel with anybody to get saved. You ask him, you know how to get saved? Yeah, you got to confess with your mouth, you know. He knew all that. You ask him if he's saved? He'd say no. Nope. You want to get saved? Nope. But he knew it all. But he knew. He knew what the Bible said. I mean, this is a guy that if he wanted to get saved, he'd just get saved. He didn't need anybody to share the gospel with him. He knew it. Why didn't he get saved? I don't know. I mean, I got a lot of speculation, but I really don't know. I don't know why. These demons right here, they knew it. They knew it all. 1 John 4:15 says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." You hear that? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. But didn't them demons confess that Jesus was the Son of God? Mm-hmm. They did. So it's not a blanket statement. It doesn't mean just saying it. That just means that, oh, hey, God's dwelling in me. That's it. What's the difference? The difference is this, is confessing Christ with the mouth that leads to salvation has to do with being born again. See, because I can separate myself from that new birth. I can say, okay, listen, I'm studying the Bible like I'm studying an encyclopedia. Yep, Jesus, okay, I believe it. He was born, he died, this is what happened, everything's true. But I'm not born again. You know, it's just a mental intellect, mental assent to what the Bible says is true. You know, we read, we all went to school, most of us went to school, I guess, had history, right? Stuff happened years ago, we didn't know nothing about it. History book said, you know what? You know, Columbus discovered America in 1492, crying out loud. I got to take y'all back through history again. Columbus discovered America in 1492, all right? You got that straight. How many of you believe that? I mean, that's what the book said. That's what the book said. Okay, I'm not trusting Columbus for anything, I will say. Huh? Trying to get a holiday out of him on Columbus Day or whatever, but we're not trusting him for nothing. Okay, but we got that, so we just believe what that's what the history book. Jamestown was founded in? What? 1607. Huh, right there, Cody, man, my man. He got it. 1607, that's it. Jamestown was discovered in 1607. If y'all don't learn nothing about the Bible, you're going to know something about history when you get out of here today. All right, forget history. That illustration isn't working. that illustration's not panning out too good. But we learn that stuff. We believe that stuff because that's what's written. All right, but that's not, you know, it doesn't have any, we're not putting our faith or trust in that. See, so we can believe the Bible. We can separate from being born again. Being born again is a spiritual birth. How's that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit of God comes in your heart when you confess, huh? Which repentance is tied into that. And you call on the name of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He paid for your sins. We can have a spiritual birth. See, here's the word, the key, right? Key word in verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say the word fellowship, that's the key word. See, the demons, they confessed that was Christ. They knew who he was. They knew where he was born. They knew prophecy concerning him, but they did not have fellowship with him. Matter of fact, they even said, what does thou have to do with us? Nothing. What do you have to do with us right now? Nothing. Nothing, because they didn't have any relationship with him. That's the key right there. See, that fellowship, it's the shared life of Christ. And this is it. So maybe a better question, somebody said, well, let me ask something. You having fellowship with Jesus Christ? Day-to-day fellowship with Jesus Christ? This is a salvation. This is the kind of relationship that you have to have. You have fellowship. Remember, like I said, they said, what do we have to do with thee? They didn't have anything to do with him, but the person that has a relationship with Christ. And they confessed intellectually, the demons did, but they didn't submit physically or spiritually to Christ. People don't, you know, even the name of Jesus Christ. I was talking to Melody on the phone last night, and she's place she was working, lady she worked for, she's not necessarily a believer, well, she's not a believer, but anyway, she told them that Lily could paint, they had little high chairs for the kids and said they were going to paint them up and fix them up, and told Lily, said, Lily, you can paint on there anything you want, just what the owner of the restaurant said, you can paint anything on there you want. And so she wrote on the painting on the back, Jesus loves the little children, and painted some other things on there. I didn't see it, Rick was telling me about it, said paint on there. They took it in there, and the lady said, well, you got to remove that. That's after she told her she could paint anything. She said, that offends me. You can put God on there, but you can't put Jesus on there. See, there's a difference right there. That name of Jesus, boy, that's the one right there, man. It gets you. It gets them right there. And Jesus walked on the scene. The demons knew who he was. They even fell down. They worshiped him, but they didn't have a relationship with him. Man, when Jesus comes on the scene, everything gets straightened out. I mean, it sorts the wheat and the tares and the fakes and the possessors and the, you know, and so what happened, you know, and how many people, it says there, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It said that we lie and we think about this. How many people still walk in darkness if they claim that they're saved and what it is, their practice and their profession don't match and they don't share the life of Christ? Let me ask you this. Do you share the life of Christ? Do you share the life of Christ? This is the question. I don't want to know if you believe him, believe in him, believe them demons believed the word of God. They knew that there was a time coming. They believed the word of God. They believed that that's who, they knew exactly who he was. But they didn't share in his life. That's the Christ life, the spiritual life. This is what salvation is. It's not just a mouth thing, not just a mental ascent. It's a heart or a life experience. The true believer experiences Christ. It's not a secondhand experience. Man, here's some of the answers you get. I'd like to write a book. Oh, well, you know, are you saved? Are you sure you're saved? Oh, yeah, you know, I'm saved. My grandmother, my great-grandmother and grandmother and grandfather, they all went to that church such and such down the road. Matter of fact, they're buried in the cemetery out there. Yeah, but are you saved? But this is their answer for are you saved. Grandma and grandma. Well, my grandma, boy, she was a believer. She was a good Christian woman. I'm going to tell you, hey, well, that's great. I'm glad. I hope she was. I believe she probably was. But listen, her experience with Jesus Christ don't have nothing to do with your experience with Jesus Christ. Well, mom and daddy, how many mom and dads is in churches now, heartbroken, their kids is out there in the world? They're not saved because, you're not saved because your mom and dad was saved. You're not saved because your mom and dad brought you to church. Huh? You guys, we got young boys in here. We got these young boys right here. We got kids, got grandkids and all that. I'm going to tell you what, my grandkids, you're not going to be saved because granddaddy's the pastor of the church. You got to make a decision for Jesus Christ yourself. Everybody, you know, you have to experience that. And I said, I preached a message a while back about that. You know, we read about old revivals that happened, and we're all excited about that, and God did this, and God did that, and God did it. Man, listen, it's great to read about all what God did in times past, but I want to be involved in what God's doing right now. I mean, God can do something right now. You know, we need to experience God for ourselves, not just read books about other people that had an experience with God. And so that's the, you know, experiencing Christ. I noticed that I used to kid around about the cricket sound. Sometimes you ask a little question. I understand we have cricket sounds piped into the computer. Now, Eileen, you got your finger on the trigger. But that's what happens. You ask people, say, well, listen, share it Wednesday night. Tell me what God's been doing in your life right now. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Oh, she's hunting for it. I was kind of hinting around. I was hoping you were getting that. You ask me, what's Jesus Christ, what's God doing in your life? Well, you know, 40 years ago, I got saved. Yeah, there you go. What God's doing in your life right now? That's what we got, right? Well, 40 years ago, I got saved. That's great. And you ask anybody, boy, what's God doing for you? And they go back 20, 30, 40. Yeah, I remember the day I got saved. Well, what has God done from the time you got saved till right now? Cricket sound. Don't forget. Yes, we get cricket. I mean, that's it. Well, how do you have a relationship with Christ? You know, if you have a relationship with somebody, like, okay, our youth people, Billy and Angela and Randy and Danielle and Brian and the kids, all we had, what did we do yesterday? Huh? We all went down to youth rally, man. We was all together, right? You got something to say, right? All right, but if I don't have nothing to do with you and I don't see you for 6 years, you say, well, do you have a relationship with Daniel Boone? Yeah. Well, what have y'all been doing? Well, like a couple years ago, we went to the youth rally. What happened since then? Nothing. Well, we don't have much of a relationship, right? Huh? I got a very best friend. I got some of my best friends I grew up with. Y'all probably got them too. I got one of my best friends. Actually, he's been a pastor. I don't think he's pastoring right now. We hung around together. We knew each other since we were four. We hung around together every day. Spent the night at each other's house. When we moved away from home, we moved away from home together. Man, we got into trouble together. Can't tell you about all that. But we've done a lot of stuff together, right? But right, you know, in the last 30 years, we don't have much of a relationship because we don't see each other. You know, we don't see each other. Now I know him and would have, and I'm sure we'd pick up where we left off. Not getting in trouble, but, you know, other things. But listen, we got to experience Jesus Christ yourself, for yourself. It's good that you got friends and people like that that help you, but you have to apprehend this yourself. And so we walk in the light, we walk with Jesus, we walk in dark, we're not. So the question, you know, have you truly, being born again, that's the difference right there. Man, I got to hurry up. I don't know where the time's going. Jesus asked Peter this question right here. He said, hey, who do men say that I am? And he said, well, some say you're the Christ, some say you're John the Baptist, some say, you know. Then he asked Peter this one question. This is an important question. He said, who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, man. Now, Peter confessed with his lips, but he also confessed with his life. He lost his life for his testimony right there. But see, here's the question. Who do you say? It doesn't matter who I say. It doesn't matter who everybody else said. It's who do you say? Who do you say that I am? You know, that was the key. Now we've got that confessing Christ, then we got confessing sin. As I said, it's easier to ask forgiveness than to confess sin. And, you know, it's hard for a lot of times people to say, you know what, just these simple words, I was wrong. You know, there's a little saying goes along and say, once I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. Huh? Once I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. Nah, it's hard to say that. And, You know, we don't want to have to say it, so what do? Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Well, how do we deceive ourselves? Well, number one, you say that you don't have any sin. The next thing you do, you make excuses for it. You know, you say, oh, well, yeah, I know it was wrong, but the reason I did it was, I had no choice. It just happened that I couldn't help it. You know, I couldn't help it. That's a good one. Flip Wilson used to say the devil made him do everything, right? So we blame somebody else. That goes along with that right there. Or live in denial. You know, we like, well, it's not that bad. I'm not as bad as everybody else, right? We can always find somebody. Well, you know, I didn't go into a school down in Florida and shoot up 17 people. I'm better than that guy, right? How about that one? So we try to make ourselves look good by looking at something else. We deceive ourselves. And he said, if we do this, the truth is not in us. To deny our sinfulness is to call God a liar, because he said, if we say no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. And if we walk in the light, what happens is our sins are revealed to us. Pastor Frankie used to always say, if you're not sure what your sins are, just take a guess, you get them right the first time every time, because the light will reveal our sins. You know, listen, why do we got to confess? Don't God know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? When he came to Adam, he said, Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God, tried to cover up their nakedness because they knew they were sinners. God come walking on cool in the garden. He said, Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was. He wanted Adam to confess. He said, well, what have you done? I'm paraphrasing. What have you done? Did you eat of that tree? ? Yeah. He knew. He already knew. So why do we got to confess if God already knows? Because God wants you to be honest with yourself, and God wants you to admit it. Huh? That's the first step right there in getting saved right there, is admit that you're a sinner, confess that you have sin, and then, you know, first you got to confess that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. You got to confess Christ and believe it and mean it and understand all that. You got to understand everything the demons understood. But they just never confessed that they were sinners. And then you got to confess that you're a sinner. You got to say, listen, man, I'm a sinner, man. I got a lot of sin. How many sins you got? Legion. You know, legion, we got the same problem that the demons had. We got that. We have to do it because God wants you to admit it to yourself. If you can't admit it to you, you can't admit it to him, right? And then he wants you to admit, he already knows. See, but here's another thing. Sin, listen, it separated us from God. Originally, it still breaks fellowship with God today, and the only way to restore fellowship, because actually 1 John 1, listen, this is actually a statement to believers. This isn't a statement to lost people, but you can use it for salvation. It's actually a statement to people that are believers. If we Christians say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth's not in us, well, then they couldn't be saved, right? So it'd have to be at least people in the church people, that's who have to be, it'd be to. There's lost people in intertwined in there, the wheat and the tares still together, right there. It's the only means of cleansing from sin is confession. Our hearts, our minds need to be renewed, washed, cleansed. Positionally, listen, if you're saved, you're forgiven. But practically, we confess and ask forgiveness due to the fact that we break the heart of the Father when we sin. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't think you need to ask God for forgiveness for that, you're wrong. Because, listen, you break his, when you understand how his heart feels, we need to speak to God about that. And then the third thing is, confess our faults one to another. It says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. And in our text there that I just read to you, it said that, you know, we have fellowship one with another. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And listen, when we're out of fellowship with one another, we're out of fellowship with God. And when you get out of fellowship with God, you'll find out you have a hard time getting along with others too, with everybody else, because you're starting at the very beginning, you're out of fellowship with God. And next thing you know, you're angry about everything else with everybody else, mad with everybody else. Somebody had asked Gandhi, the one-time spiritual leader in India, somebody asked him this question and said, what's the biggest hindrance to the spread of Christianity in India? He said, Christians. That was his answer. Christians are. They're the biggest hindrance right there. You know, there's so many things that go on. Listen, and as we go along in life, we're talked about being babes in Christ. We get saved, we're babes in Christ. But then we're supposed to grow, we're supposed to mature, and crying out loud. I was thinking about the guys we had, the guys that we heard preaching, they're all evangelists. All they got to do is come in there and lay the truth on you, whether you like it or not, and then say, see you later, pastor, you deal with it. And the pastor's out there holding everybody's hand, man, nursing everybody with a baby bottle, changing diapers and everything else you got to do, because Christians won't grow up. They won't grow up. And a lot of times I'm telling you, man, pastoring is and dealing with other Christians, that how long you been saved? 20, 30, 40 years. And you still acting like kids. And he said, you know, we got to mature. We got to get past that. We got to walk in the light. And we got to have love for one for another. And we got to have fellowship, because the world out there sees it. But man, so many people get hung up. Well, somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody said something. And then you got to deal with all that. I mean, it's like we don't get past, you know, get up, you know, get up, as Harold Vaughn said. You know, get up and go ahead with that. Listen, there's two things that Jesus gave us that you can't put a price on. And it's fellowship and it's joy. There's two things right there. He said, listen, he said that we, if we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And in verse 4, it said, in these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Fellowship is Christ's answer to the loneliness of life. How many of you know there's a lot of lonely people out there in the world? There's people that's sitting in churches all over the place today, and they're lonely people. Oh, they're just lonely. But you don't have to be lonely. You ask Jesus Christ to come. You always have somebody there. Always somebody there. And then fellowship is his answer to the loneliness in life. And joy is his answer to the emptiness of life. The emptiness of life. And right here, if we had a piano player, this is where the piano player would slip out, start playing some little weepy tune. We get down here to the close of things. We're working on that. And there's, like I said, there's a lot of lonely, empty people in the world, even some, like I say, right now, because, you know why? Because they haven't really confessed. They haven't really confessed. Brother Benny said in his message, he said this, these are people that are saved. But he said what it is they've asked for forgiveness, but they haven't confessed their sins. And he said they always come to him and they say, You know, I've asked Jesus to forgive me, but I don't feel like I'm forgiven. I have a burden about, you know, this and that. And he said, this is the problem. You've asked for forgiveness, but you hadn't confessed. When you confess, that's when the burden gets lifted. That's when the joy comes back. And that's, you know, that's when the fellowship is restored. And that's when we can share in his life and walk in the light. Listen. Don't deceive yourself. Don't make excuses. Don't blame somebody else. Don't live in denial. Let me ask you this, you know, the simple, who do you say Jesus is? You know, if you get that, confess Christ, then confess your sin. And ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and come into your life and have a relationship and being born again. This is the key, being born again. It doesn't matter about the intellectual part as much as the heart part. And then that'll help your fellowship with God, which will also help your fellowship with fellow man. Huh? And then you know what that produced? The outcome of that is joy. Huh? Joy. You know, in a lot of Christianity today, you don't see that. There's people, man, they don't have no joy in their life. Huh? Man, they come in, boy, and took a picture of their face. Woo. Huh? They don't have joy, man. I'm not saying there's not going to be some problems, some trials. There might be something that's not going to make you happy, but joy is a different thing. It still can be there when you're going through a trial in life. This is what God gives us right there. So let me ask you, have you been born again? Have you experienced salvation for yourself? Are you living in a day-to-day relationship with Jesus Christ? That's where the rubber gets the road right there. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.